The Differently Brained team acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we record, edit, and stream this podcast. We pay our respects to all First Nations peoples and their elders past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to all First Nations cultures and their ongoing connection to the lands, waterways, and communities. Let's get into it. Hello, welcome to our first episode of 2024 for Differently Brained, the podcast where no brain is the same. I'm Jacinta Dietrich.
And I'm Lachlan Rutherford. And yes, Jacinta is correct. This is our first episode of 2024, the first episode of season two of Differently Brained.
Oh my God.
Go us.
This is amazing.
I know.
As neurodivergent people and people with mental health, the fact that we've stuck to something for a whole year and then came back for more, that's pretty impressive. This is maybe one of the longest running projects I've ever done outside of a university degree.
I think probably I have to say the same thing. So good on us. Good on us.
If you want to continue joining us, this year we have introduced something a little new. We have a private Facebook community where we all come together and we share our stories and our experiences. We ask questions and we just chat about everything neurodivergence and mental health. So please come and join us. We would love to have you. We are Differently Brained Community on Facebook. You can find us in the show notes, but please come and spend the year with us.
So let's get stuck into things, Jacinta. Start things off with a little bit of not New Year's resolutions, because resolutions, they tend to be kind of rubbish and hard to actually achieve.
Tell us so what you really think.
I think it's what you really think as well.
Very true.
The alternative is instead coming up with New Year's intentions and kind of having an overall intention or word or whatever that you basically apply to every aspect of your life in the new year. So, Jacinta, what is an intention?
Okay. I feel like I need to preface this with I'm not a psychologist. I have no science background. I have no credibility in this space beyond this is what works for me. So I was always a huge New Year's resolution person. Until I came across, you know, setting a word or an intention kind of thing. And that's really worked for me. So what an intention is for me is just that. It's a word or a sentence that helps make decisions across the year while staying focused on like your overall goals and your overall journey. So it's more of a guide than a rule, I would say, which I think really, really helps me to stay on top of things, like to look at things from a bigger picture. So it doesn't have the limiting vibes of a New Year's resolution, but it's basically, yeah, just a word to help you stay focused and remind you what you want to see more of in this year. So I guess an example would be if you wanted to hypothetically write a novel or write every single day or something like that. Potentially your New Year's resolution would be, I want to write a book or I want to write every single day. But by having an intention or a word, it could simply be write, which means that, you know, when you have that day that you fall off the bandwagon and you don't write that day, you don't fall into all the all or nothing thinking and just scrap the whole thing. And it also means that it opens it up and it looks at the bigger picture where, you know, maybe you'll spend a day writing and it won't be for your novel or whatever your really big goal is, but you'll have written an article that you can get published or a short story, or you've just written something that felt good that you have, that you don't know how you're going to use that down the line and it might come up again. So it looks at those really big tasks that I think we often put on ourselves as New Year's resolutions and builds a focus word around it so that it's not all or nothing thinking. It's more opportunistic thinking.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. It totally makes sense because as a person that is me, I am not a goals oriented person. I suck at making, especially long-term goals. I can make a list of short-term goals, like I know the lists of things that I do during the day and I cross them off and it's done kind of thing. And the problem that I have with goal setting in the long term is that I can never actually think of something that isn't just completely abstract. Like I want to lose weight, you know? And sure, that's a long-term goal, but it's very non-specific. How do I want to lose weight? How much weight do I want to lose? This is just an example. So instead, like, using an intention, like, I want to be healthier, you're still going to have things in there that are going to be related to that sort of long-term goal, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think the big one is, you know, I'm going to exercise every day, or I'm going to go to the gym every day. But if your intention is to be healthier, there's some days where it's not best for you to go to the gym, like you're sick or you need rest or you're burnt out.
It's 36 degrees outside.
Exactly. And so having an intention or a word, it helps you to take a more holistic approach to everything, because on that day, the healthy decision isn't push yourself and go to the gym. It's to rest, and it's to, you know, cuddle up with a book and a cup of tea or a movie and a honey and lemon and things like that. So it takes a more holistic approach to what you're actually trying to achieve, rather than making you feel like, well, either one, I have to do this, which, as we know, a lot of us don't love being told what to do. A lot of us don't like demands and things like that, which 100% makes sense, even if it's your own brain making those demands. So, you know, it avoids that. And it also means that you've got the bigger picture in mind. You are genuinely looking after yourself, and you don't have that moment of, oh, well, I didn't go to the gym today, so I've failed my New Year's resolution already, and then have those negative feelings around it. Because yeah, I know for me, the minute I have one bad day on a goal, it spirals, and yeah, the likelihood that I'm going to be able to get back on top of that. Whereas when I've had intentions in the last, you know, I've only been doing it for a year or two, it means that not only do I then pick it back up because it feels different, it doesn't feel like I've failed, it feels like I've done what I needed to do, but it also lulls me into like a confirmation bias thing, well, where yeah, not only have I not failed, but I haven't demanded anything of myself, and I've been on the lookout for things that line up. So on those days with the gym example, I've looked at what does my body really need, and I've found that I need to rest, that I need to do this kind of thing, which gives you a more positive mindset anyway, you know, yeah, like you're genuinely looking after yourself. It means you're more optimistic. It means like that day was a win for you. And so it gives all of the things that you're doing that do relate to that word or that goal, you get the dopamine rush of achievement because you did what you needed to do to meet that task.
Yeah. And I suppose as well, for people like us who are constantly being critical of ourselves, operating in a deficit when we don't get the stuff done that we intended to do, or that we told ourselves we were going to do, is going to further feed the narrative of I am, you know, not good enough, I'm not doing good enough, which for whatever reason seems to be the cornerstone of Western buddy society, where it's like, oh, you can always do better than the last time, you can always grind it out. And I think, I mean, sure, that probably works for some people, but I know that for me and for you and for several others in our little community, operating on that kind of deficit instead of like looking at the things that you will or that you have achieved, it's going to be detrimental to getting anything done, really. You just kind of stagnate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the other ways that it helps me more than a New Year's resolution exactly is with decision making across the year. So I know that might sound a bit weird, but, you know, inevitably things are going to pop up across the year, new opportunities, new challenges. And for me, when I had really, really hard SMART goals, which I know work for some people, and we will do an episode next week on having really specific goals across the year, if that's the thing that works for you. I do a mix of both, to be honest, but in terms of big picture thinking and my overall year goals, it really helps with those moments where I'm faced with something that I hadn't anticipated, because then I think I'm more likely to look at them as opportunities rather than barriers or challenges, and I'm more likely to take them on. So like hypothetically, if in terms of like writing and things like that, my big goal was to finish writing and editing the novel I was working on. But what I also did was I wrote a lot of different other little pieces and things like that. And I wrote some pitches for some anthologies and things like that, which, you know, they didn't feed into my main goal of finishing that novel and things like that, but they did feed into the overall goal of wanting to create more and produce more in different ways and engage with our community and the writing community in different ways. And if I hadn't had an overall word that helped me do that and look at those submission callouts, potentially I would have made a different decision and not chosen to submit to those because they didn't line up with the specific physical goal of write the novel, but because they fit with my overall word, which I actually can't remember what it was, how embarrassing. It meant that, you know, in those moments where I could have had decision paralysis and freaked out because I knew it was something that I wanted to do, but it didn't fit the goal, I leaned in instead. And, you know, I don't know if anything has come from them yet, but either way, I now have some shorter pieces that I'm really, really proud of that I know that even if they don't get picked up by these anthologies, I will try and use them somewhere else. So I think it helps take out that decision paralysis when something new pops up, especially if, you know, you're in a position where you get offered a new job or you need to move house or those really big, hard things. It gives you a different way of looking at it and a different way of, you know, doing a pros and cons list and seeing what could happen rather than seeing how it doesn't fit the specific thing you thought you had in mind. Right. Because priorities change all the time as well. It means that, you know, halfway through the year, if you decide, no, I don't want that specific goal anymore, it's okay, which obviously it is, whether you have an intention or a word or not. But, you know, it takes the sting out of it for me a little bit because I know that everything I've done has still built on that word that I've chosen and the overall journey, I hate that word, but whatever, the overall journey that I wanted that year to look like. And so it doesn't feel like I wasted time or I missed something, which I think just in terms of 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years would 100% be distraught and would have committed to that hardline goal because I'd started it. Whereas now it means that I'm able to see how that experience served me and helped me, but how it doesn't necessarily align with what I'm trying to do in the big picture.
Yeah. So choosing, actually coming up with an intention or a word is not an easy feat. It wasn't for me, at least. I can't speak for you in this situation, but I didn't find it particularly easy. And this is, like, I've never done this kind of framework for a New Year's intention before in my life. But I'd imagine it's very easy to let your mind go crazy on coming up with all of these different types of words and possibly some platitudes as well amongst them. Is there a specific way that you were able to choose something or in the past and also for next year or this year rather that keeps you grounded in the now?
Again, not a psychologist, not a practitioner in this field at all. This is basically just how I do it. So I kind of come at it from a very wishy-washy way. And again, I know that that's not going to work for everyone in our community, but the way that I do it is a bunch of steps. So the first thing that I do is I look at the year before or the current year, whether you're doing it, you know, in pre-Christmas or pre-New Year's, just, you know, whenever you are doing it, I look at the previous 12 months and what I achieved, which is something that I really didn't do until the last few years. I'm very much oh, great, that's done, dopamine hit, and then move on. I don't look at what I've done and celebrate it. I know that, you know, we're obviously getting a lot better at it and we're trying to do it more publicly with the podcast so that then we actually keep each other accountable and the community keeps us accountable and supports us. But yeah, I look at what I achieved and what I'm proud of, which I think is, one, it's such a huge booster for reminding yourself of, you know, what you've done, regardless of whether it's big or small. Like, if it is literally that you survived that year, that's amazing. You survived that year. Like, you are still here, and that is an achievement as big as if someone else did some grand thing that you look at and think, oh, I wish I could have done that kind of thing. Like, at the moment, the world is really, really hard, and being here for a whole extra 12 months is 100% an equal achievement.
And comparisons are never helpful as well in any situation.
But I also think it helps you to stay grounded when you go through the next couple of steps, because I know for me, I get really excited because I'm like, I got a whole 12 months. Like, oh yeah, I'll fill it in. And I really go overboard in terms of the expectations of what I can actually achieve. And so looking at the previous year and knowing, you know, how that played out and things like that, it keeps me grounded and reminds me to kind of stay realistic in the next few steps. Otherwise, I do get a bit excited and think that I can do 50 trillion things that I almost definitely cannot do. So the next thing I do is, once I've had that little boost and I feel good and happy, I look at what I wish I did more the previous year or in the previous 12 months. And I think it's really, really important to do this without guilt or shame. I know that's really, really hard and it's easier said than done, but I'm not looking at the things that I should have done or could have done. It's more of the things that I would like to prioritize in my year that I didn't get a chance to do in the previous year, whether that's, you know, that I didn't get to spend as much time with my family or I didn't spend as much time creating. I think it's really important that you come to it with self-compassion and an understanding and more of a perspective of what you value rather than what you should have done or could have done or what someone else thinks you should have done.
Yeah.
Because again, I think that's a really clear way on how to find your priorities and look at what you want to do. The next step, once I've done, look at the year before, what you have achieved, what you wanted to do, I look at what I already have booked in for the following year. So for me, again, this is about keeping it grounded and realistic. So for example, for me, 2024 is a big one for family events. So my sister and my sister-in-law are both getting married in the first half of the year. So I know... Great. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know why I'm thanking you for congrats. So I know that, you know, there's a solid amount of weekends that I'm going to be busy. I'll be at family events that will have, you know, obviously the weddings, but then also the adjacent things like the hens and helping get those organized. And so I know that realistically, the first half of my year is already quite busy. And so overburdening myself with a huge, ridiculous, lofty word is just going to put a lot of unnecessary pressure on me and lead me into that all or nothing thinking or that pressure that I'm trying to avoid by not setting a New Year's resolution. So you've got to be realistic because sometimes, you know, some years are going to be busier than others. Some years you literally just need to focus on self-care and that's okay. That is exactly what you need to do. And going in knowing that is going to make prioritizing those things like rest and recuperation much easier than if you go in thinking that your word is going to be like, I don't know, blockbuster or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you've got to also meet the year and meet yourself where you're at. So once I have a clear idea and I have really, really nailed into myself that I cannot go overboard, I think about what brings me joy. So I think that's one of the special things about an intention or a word instead of a New Year's resolution is that you really focus on what you're passionate about and you what you want to see in your life more and what brings you joy and what makes you happy in that moment, whether that's a new hyperfixation or a hobby I've got. I think about what has really filled my cup in the last 12 months and what I think will continue to fill my cup. And then in that process, I also think about what I want to achieve in a really big picture sense. So I'm not setting specific goals. I'm just thinking about what I want to do in the year ahead in terms of really big picture stuff. Like maybe I want to change career. Maybe I want to go back to study. And so those two things together show you essentially what you should probably be prioritizing. They show you what you're passionate about and what you want to achieve. And from that, I build a word bank of words that kind of fit the two of those until I find the word that just clicks. And again, I know that sounds really like woo-woo and wishy-washy and things like that. But for me, it's always been once I get to that word bank idea and I know all of that stuff, it becomes really, really clear what the word that's going to stick for me is. Mm-hmm. And then after that, obviously, you know, your word bank is done and I save that for following years kind of thing. So that then, you know, you're building a bit of a thing and you're seeing how stuff grows and it means you don't have to do a bunch of Googling or thinking or AIing the following year. Yeah, that's essentially how I do it, which I know, like, it's pretty wishy-washy and it did just take me a million, like, too long didn't read, think about the things you like and pick a word. because, you know, I probably should have just lent in with that. But yeah, think about your priorities and what you want and then find the word that reminds you of that and motivates you. Because I think it's really important to have a word that really connects. Not much point having one that you think of and then you go, eh, and ignore it. But, like, you know, picking a word that really captures all those things is going to be so much stronger, I think. Personally, it is so much stronger than having like a New Year's resolution that is a hard and fast rule.
And the word becomes a touchstone. We've talked a lot on this show about how important touchstones are for if you've got a mental health issue or you're neurodivergent or something that is there essentially to be a reminder of something else. And the word, like, I don't know, what do you think? Could it be, instead of a word, could you have some other sort of abstract thing that serves as that reminder that will allow you to kind of like steer yourself towards the things that you want?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, previous years have been like a full sentence. So not last year, but the year before, it was, I'm a work in progress. And that was a year that I was spending a lot of time on my mental health and my physical health and, you know, getting back into therapy and doing all of that stuff. So it can definitely be something like a full sentence, or it can be a picture. It can be, you know, even an item, like anything that you look at that really captures your hopes and dreams for that year, I think can work.
Fantastic. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Have you been wanting to try a natural deodorant or try and bring more eco-consciousness into your self-care routine, but heard too many horror stories about friends who've tried a natural deodorant and have had allergic reactions or itchy pits and you just weren't willing to give it a go? Wild is here to save the day. Wild is so great because it's a natural deodorant that actually works, which that is 100% tick number one for me. Stop there, no need for anything else. But on top of that, it's got a fully sustainable design. It's super convenient because you can purchase one-offs or you can have a flexible subscription. Everything is delivered straight to your door, so there's no grocery shopping issues needed. It's customizable, so you can pick any case color and scent combinations. Mine is a lovely teal with my name on it, and my favorite is the jasmine and mandarin blossom scent. And it's eco-friendly with all natural ingredients, so it's aluminium and paraben-free, as well as vegan and cruelty-free, which are huge wins for me. Go wild today with a special discount of 25% off your first order when you use the code DB at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use DB at the checkout. Enjoy!
All right. Hello, everyone. Gosh, I missed you. Welcome back from the break. We're talking today a little bit about New Year's intentions. And Jacinta, you seem to be the expert on this.
yes, very, very much expert, not definitely just talking about what I personally do, like it's some wisdom that I'm sharing with you all.
I mean, it's wisdom to me, mate. I don't know anything about this. But can you give us, as a wise lady, some extra things that we might be able to do to help us kind of stick with these intentions?
Of course. Again, these are just based on what I have done to gamify and trick myself across the years. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I do, which is like really wonderful because we're doing it right now, is that I share it with my friends and my family and I get people on board. So I tell them like, this is it. This is what I'm doing this year. And I think that works twofold because it means that I have now inbuilt accidentally a bunch of accountability buddies or potentially body doubling friends.
Yep.
Because people get invested in other people's goals. Like, I don't know about you, but I get really excited and, you know, invested in what my friends are trying to do and their intentions and their hopes for whenever they have a a goal or a focus and things like that. And so I think it brings people in, and it means, you know, when you say, hey, sorry, look, I can't do this thing because that doesn't fit with this right now, like whether it's a financial goal or like a time goal or whatever, I think people are more understanding when they know what you're trying to achieve, which I understand, like you don't owe anybody anything, and no is absolutely a complete sentence. Just for me, being a neurodivergent person who always feels like I need to apologize or over-explain and things like that, if I open the year with, hey guys, my word of the year or my intention of the year is this, is saving or whatever, then when I say, hey, I don't have money for brunch this week, really, really sorry, you know, whatever, all my friends are like wonderfully supportive constantly, every time. To be fair, even if they didn't know my goal, they generally are, because I am blessed with really understanding, lovely friends. Yeah. But I think, yeah, it does two things, where it brings accountability and it brings you a hype team, because people get on board. And then if they like the idea, get them to make their own word as well, because then other people's goals and hopes and things, they really motivate me in turn. Like I get so excited when my friends, you know, I have a lot of writing friends, and that's probably where I need the most motivation. And so when they like pitch to someone or they submit to a publisher or a literary agent, that's so exciting and I'm so hype, and I don't know why, but then that fuels me into reminding me that I love writing and I do those things. And then it like feeds into getting me to do the things that I want to do as well, because I saw someone else do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, they can do it. I can do it. It's okay. Blah, blah, blah. And it kind of builds this like hype in me or something. The other one, and I think we've talked about this last year on the podcast as well, but it's visual cues. Or so like some people do mood boards. I'm not really a mood boarder because I can't be stuffed getting a bunch of magazines and pictures. I don't have a printer. I'm not doing any of that to make a physical mood board. And Pinterest doesn't work for me, because it's on my phone and I actively have to go and find it, whereas I need visual cues that I accidentally come across as reminders. Like I can't remember to go and look at my mood board. I need to accidentally see my mood board, but I'm not a huge physical one either. So my version of a mood board is I have a letter board, one of those, you can get them from Kmart. They're super, super cheap. And I punch in, I do it half-half. So I put my word of the year at the top and, you know, stick pins and fun things around it. So I guess I do a little bit of mood boarding. And then at the bottom, I have like my specific goals that I know that I want to reach, but that I know that if at any point they no longer serve the top word, I'll pull them off and it's not a problem. So I have that. That sits above my work desk, my podcast desk, my writing desk, whatever this desk is, so that it's always there and it's a constant reminder, you know, when I get an email, oh, look, that's something I didn't expect. Does that serve me in this situation? Blah, 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 stuff like that.
Yep.
The other thing that I do, which I'm not necessarily sure if it fits with like intentions exactly, but it's something that I think that our community could really benefit from, and I know that you and I could really benefit from, is keeping a list of achievements across the year that is especially related to your word. So I just get myself a really nice piece of paper. I write the year and my word or intention on the top. And then I write down the things that I did that year that I'm really, really proud of, or that I'm happy that I did, because it really helps next year when I'm reviewing my year and what I've done. It's a growing list of all the things that I have done that I am proud of. So anytime I feel a bit crappy or low, or like I haven't done much with my time, I can look at that and, you know, see I applied for this and I did this and I got this speaking engagement and stuff like that, which really, really helps me to just remember what I've achieved and celebrate myself a little bit. And I feel like writing it down is a little bit of self-care. So I feel like often, like I said earlier, we do the thing, we get the dopamine, and then we just move on, kind of thing. But I think it's important that, you know, we take a bit more time to hype ourselves and love ourselves and celebrate ourselves, because it's not something that we often do. And so by having something close by that every time you do even a little thing that you're proud of, like made it through and write in the date or whatever, if you've had a particularly hard day, that's amazing, because you've taken that moment to be mindful, to celebrate that thing that you did, And then you've also got like an ongoing record of it. So my nice piece of paper sits in a frame that I've pulled the glass out of, and that sits above my desk as well, next to my letterboard, so that then I can just write straight onto it. I don't need to like undo the picture frame or anything like that, but I also know where it is and that I haven't lost it and that it's not crumpled and yucky and I don't like looking at it anymore. So those are the big things that have helped me in the past stick to my intentions and or my word. That's obviously probably not an exhaustive list. And again, if you find something else that works for you, 100% lean in and share it with us. We're going to put a thread in our Facebook group for you guys to not only share your words or your intentions, but also to share motivation and things that work for you. We'd absolutely love to hear it because
yeah. And I'll be sharing all of them because I don't know any of, I've never done this before. So what you just listed then, Jacinta, and anything put on Facebook from the community, I'm taking for myself. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Which, it's your time to shine.
Oh.
What's your intentional word for the year, brother? Give me all the context. How did you choose your word? Why did you choose it? Hit me with it all.
Okay. So I did already say, but I found it very hard to come up with a word. And I honestly don't know why I found it so hard. I think it's because my brain kept automatically going to a bunch of different platitudes. And as a rule, I hate that. So it just kind of, I was just struggling for a bit. Before I tell you the word, I'll tell you how I got there. I was playing video games with a mutual friend and talking about, you know, what sort of a year I've had and venting and all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, I guess that next year you really need to try and recalibrate. And then it struck. Recalibrate. Recalibrate is the word of the year. So 6 years ago, thereabouts, things were going pretty badly for me. Family tragedies and, yeah, I won't go into it too much.
Yeah.
And then in the probably from 2020 onwards, I was going quite well. I was getting healthier. I was doing some copy editing gigs here and there. I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then at the beginning of this year, something happened. That basically just completely undid me in every single conceivable way. And I still don't think I'm actually fixed from that.
Yeah.
But basically, I have had my period of mourning, I guess, and wallowing in self pity. And I want to move to a situation where I'm more confident in myself, be something important to someone, and I guess be a kinder person, I suppose, or a more self-aware person, and not lean so heavily on people who are also struggling to just kind of help me out. And the way to do that is to, I think, look back at how I was able to kind of pull myself out of a bad place a couple of years ago and recalibrate towards that again. So, yeah, I hope that makes some sort of sense. You know.
No, it definitely did. And it's such a, like, it's a word that wouldn't have stuck out to me, but it absolutely fits for you. Like, when you told me this, because you did mention it a little bit before we came on air, and, yeah, it absolutely makes sense. Where I was like, yeah, that's absolutely Lachlan's word. Like, fantastic. Whereas, like, recalibrate is not something that I even say ever kind of thing. So I'm very, very glad that you found that. And I think you're right. Like, it is going to help you assess things this year and put pieces back together and shift your focus and things like that. And essentially, yeah, recalibrate. Yeah. So that's, yeah. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. And now strap yourself in. What's your word, Jacinta?
Okay. Do you want me to do it secretly backwards like you did? I will. Okay. I'll do it like that. So I was looking at, I obviously did my own silly steps. And last year I felt like I had a lot of stuff going on. We started the podcast and I was doing a bunch of workshops and speaking gigs, which it was the first year I'd ever done those. And it was really, really special and amazing. And I just felt like I had so much going on, which was so beautiful and exciting. But I realized that one of the things that really brought all of it together was that it was really front facing. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. It was things that people saw. It was work that was really, really evident. You know, I could put it on social media. I could show people, you know, this is the finished product. I did this thing.
Yep.
And I realized that I often minimize the background work that needs to happen to do those things. You know, I often dismiss or undervalue the drafting processes and the pitching processes and the trillions of emails that you need to do as a freelancer or someone trying to find a new job or podcasting or, you know, trying to get speaking gigs and stuff like that, because that's not the stuff that is directly paid. And because it's not the stuff that people necessarily see, it's just a bunch of background work that has to be done. And I, you know, have definitely, like I said, undervalued that and minimized that and foofed at that in the past. And I was looking at the year that we're in now. I didn't have anything booked in. I didn't have anything necessarily that I was going to be able to announce or show people, obviously outside the podcast. And I was a little bit bummed about that. Mm. And then I thought about why I wasn't okay feeling bummed about it. Like, I really called myself out really quickly, because none of that big stuff, none of that stuff that everybody gets to see happens without the fundamental stuff behind it. None of, like, you don't get speaking gigs without the phone calls and the emails and the coordination and stuff like that. You don't have a book unless you write the book. You don't have, you know, the articles and the anthology submissions unless you write them and you pitch them and you do all of that background stuff. We don't have a podcast if I don't contact guests and do the run sheets and if you don't edit the podcast and things like that. And so this year's word is really focused on reminding me of the value of all of that work that I do leading up to all those other things, whether they produce something front-facing or not, because so many of these end up being dead ends as well, and that can be really hard. Yeah. But also every dead end is a new avenue that, you know, I tried. It's a new person that I connected with. It's a new thing that I learned. It's a way that I pitch better next time. So I think this word is all about, you know, hyping myself up to do the grunt work and the stuff that, you know, is unpaid in the moment but leads to the paid work. So my word for the year is build, because I think you get a lot of, you get some years where, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff and there's, you know, all of the outward stuff. And you've got some years where you have to go back to the ground and you have to write the draft and you have to pitch and you have to do all of the things I just listed. So yeah, build. It's a building year for me, because I know that, you know, like I said, I have a very busy first half of the year next year. So it's unrealistic for me to be, you know, running around doing trillions of school visits and library workshops and things like that as well. Whereas if I can build the resources around that and, you know, build new drafts and build our beautiful podcast and things like that, that's going to lead into more of those opportunities as we go. You know, that's going to help me along the way. And I think it'll take the pressure off of me trying to do just a bajillion different things if I'm focused on, you know, building our beautiful community, building our podcast, building my writing portfolio without the pressure of necessarily saying I have to go and do workshops, I have to go and publish X number of things, I have to, do you know what I mean? So
yeah. I don't know how much of this is actually part of this framework, but I think that if you extrapolate the word, like what the word means, right? So if you're building, you don't just build something with the end goal in, like, obviously you have a blueprint, that kind of stuff. But there's all sorts of foundational things that you have to put in place to have it be structurally sound and sustainable and quality, you know?
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you got to take things slowly, one at a time. And so based on that, like, if you extrapolate the meaning of the word build and the connotations of it, you can then kind of apply that to how you approach how you build.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm in such a funny position at the moment where I was made redundant last year, and so I don't have work this year, and so build looks very open-ended for me, because you know, you're right, I can build a foundation and I don't know what that foundation is going to be anymore. I'm not sure if I'm going to end up back in publishing or if I'm going to pivot and end up doing something else. And so it yeah, has a lot of flexibility, which I think I need right now, given that I have no idea what I'm doing. But yeah, of course, guys, like we said earlier, please join our Facebook group and come and share your words or your intentions with us and what you're going to do for the year to make those easier or more motivational for you. We'd love to hear it. We're so excited. We want to hype you. We want to get around it. So please come and tell us what your word is and what it means to you.
Also, just generally speaking, keep engaged throughout the year with the group, with the community. It's growing. It's building. But it's kind of, it's really nice having a group of people who we can sort of interact with outside of the podcast, but about the podcast. It just, I don't know, it makes this all feel very real and worthwhile and nice. So yeah, keep up the bloody good work, mates.
Absolutely. So we'll pop all of that in the show notes. If you want to find us, if, you know, Facebook's not your thing, we're on Instagram at Differently Brained Podcast. But thank you guys so much for last year. Thank you for jumping back in this year. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Differently Brained shares the opinions of individuals and does not consider your personal circumstances. Differently Brained exists purely for information purposes and should not be relied on as health or medical advice. Because no brain is the same, please consult your healthcare professional for your personal medical needs.